Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast on the internet. We're back. I have an entire sack full of excuses, and everyone, each one of them is lamer than I am. But hey, wow, who am I? Lame. I'm pretty lame, which would be way funnier if I hurt myself. So,
so funny. Shut up.
You shut up. I'm Taylor. I'm your personal grudge bearer. And with me is the Dan.
Where?
Say hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Thank you. But listen, hey, Dan, before we get started, I just want to send a huge dowie thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons. I don't even know where that page is anymore. Hang on just a second. I got to open that up. There it is.
You didn't have it ready to go?
Listen, it's been a minute. These people help support us over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. They help us do what we do every day. Keep the lights on and keep Tim from eating these dope Path to Glory rules, which we'll get to later. So excited. Huge special thank you.
Path to Glory.
I love Path to Glory. Path to Glory? Path to Glory.
Did you read the Path to Glory rules?
I did.
That's like two pages.
That's okay. It exists. So anyways, we have current big subbies, and they are X-Paxis, Iron Maze, Tau, and Midi, Dagma, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velicenda, Pagan Prince, David Handsome, Andy Brooks, Chris Dillard, Cord, Bastion, Bangarang, Dravix, Charon? I'm going to go with Charon.
Yeah, I don't know. Last episode of Gapapo we recorded, it was new, and I was like, please tell me how to say this, because I said Chiron.
I don't know, it kind of sounds like Charon.
I don't know, maybe it's one of those weird, what is it, Scottish?
Are you calling Charon weird?
Like Gaelic names, like Saoirse, but it's spelled very weird.
Like Chider Drinker.
No. Chattermax.
There you go. And we also have Enmity, who is a KDD, and yeah. M, upgraded to... I don't know what any of that means. So thanks, Enmity and M, for upgrading to...
Inspiring amateur.
Oh, there we go. Sure. I don't know what our Patreon levels are. Anyways,
we just had 2 days ago at time of recording. I Love Cupcakes 3 upgraded to Digital Nomad. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Digital Nomad Cupcake Lover. Oh, that sounds weird, and I take that back immediately. I am looking up stuff as well as things. So give me just a second while I look up stuff as well as things. Okay. We're back, folks. We also have a tier. It's called the Electric Casuals tier. And if you head over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and sign up for this tier, that tells us that you love specifically me and the show. So thank you, Lou G, Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Wright, Mad Cliff, Elite 8 Showdown was canceled, Anthony, Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Nick Barron, again, thank you for the minis and the stuffs from last times. I appreciate yous. But today, we're talking about games played and hobbies hobbied, which I've done diddly squat besides Magic the Gathering. I don't know about you, Dan.
Wow, I can't believe you've done this.
I'm the worst ever at everything.
This. I actually got some paint to model earlier today.
Nice.
It had been so long, my paint water totally dried up. I went to clean off my brush and I was like, there's no water in there.
When's the last time that happened?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it would have been way too long. But I did do some hobbying recently where we went to Everwinter for the network. We streamed the Marvel Crisis Protocol event, and then I hung out with the dudes playing Old World whenever I could, which was great to see. And while I was there, they had a bunch of like used Warhammer stuff. And the first day of it, they had it for 50% off retail.
Nice. And then
on Sunday, they had it for 60% off retail. So I got a Chaos Chariot, like assembled, a little broken, but not terrible. Like there's like one piece of the like rope from the horse to the driver guy broken off. And like,
okay.
It has some paint on it, but like it's not like good. I'm going to repaint everything, but it was $19.
Heck yeah. That sounds awesome.
And then they had like an ancient red foam. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. Red foam tray. They drove me
Yo.
crazy because they were 9 across, not 10 for whatever reason. Ready for this? With 30 gutter runners
What? Metal ones?
on, they were on round bases,
Yeah,
but
but still.
30 plastic gutter slash night runners.
Oh my gosh.
And the dude was like, "Oh, you can have them all for $10." And I was like, "Okay, here's my money. Bye. Please don't change your mind." Holy crap, $10 for 30 of these dudes? Are you kidding?
Are they the metal ones? Or are they fine crap?
No, the plastic.
Maybe I don't. Oh, wait. Oh, these are plastic with the big old fat hands.
Yeah, they're not great, but they're cool. They're still cool unit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still excited for it.
Oh my gosh. These friggin' like ape body rat face Skaven from back in the day. They're just
It
so
looks so
bad.
bad,
So bad.
but I love them at the same time. Like, I really love the when the ones that have like the claws, like Wolverine
Yes.
claws. Those are my
Yes.
favorite.
Oh my gosh, dude, these just scream Mordheim to me.
Right? Yeah, a bunch of them have slings. There's a lot of great stuff going on.
A lot of good stuff happening in the world of Dan. Dan Dan.
But yes, today I did a little bit on the Chaos Sorcerer on foot. I've been working on for Chaos, which is mostly what we're going to be talking about today as well.
Because chaos is strong.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about stuff as well as things. And it's the new Arcane Journal, which is called The Raising of Westaland, which for some reason I can't say without whatever the heck the accent that is.
Yeah.
Westaland.
Where's the land? I don't know.
Westaland. I don't know
Weird
where I am
move,
right now,
though.
but it's in the Westaland raiding party. What I'm excited about this is Path to Glory, and here's why. Since
Why?
40K, what, seventh? They had a Path to Glory thing.
Probably even more. Even
And
further
I
back.
was a little obsessed with it. The whole rolling on a D66 table to figure out which unit you're going to be adding to your army was so friggin' dope to me. I actually wrote a ton of Path to Glory tables for 40K that Mini Wargaming ended up using for a while. And
Yeah,
right then they leaked
that
out
was cool.
to the community, and I was like, yeah, man, of course people can use them, whatever. And then, we dropped 40K for a while. But I love Path to Glory and Glory. And this is Path to Glory Light. It doesn't have like the D66 table where you pick random units and all that sort of stuff, which I kind of upset about, but I get at the same time. It'd be really hard to do in Old World.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed at the depth of the rules here because there's not any. But like you said, we have it at all, and I think it would still be cool to play through this. And I really like how it's like, yeah, the idea is this based around chaos, but you can really use this for whatever army you want
Yeah.
because it could be like orcs getting bigger or dudes getting promoted or whatever. But yeah, the whole thing is 4 pages, and the first page of it is like, you should have an overseer for your campaign.
Yeah.
Like actual rules, there's like 2.5 pages.
Yeah, it's the first page is kind of like the expectations of what you should expect for this campaign, right? And it's essentially you're going to start at 250-ish points and build up to like 2000-ish, right? 2500, somewhere around there. And oh no, you start with 500. Sorry. Start with 500 points, increase by 250 to 500 points each time, and then you get up to like 2000 or 2500 points. The whole point of the campaign, Path to Glory campaign. I'm going to say this correctly once, and it's not going to be Plath to Gory or Path to Gory. I'm going to say it correctly at some point, and it's going to
I
be
didn't even
awesome.
notice you were saying it wrong, so.
One day when my mouth works and my brain syncs up with it, I'm going to be unstoppable, Dan. You
Yo, that
wait.
sounds crazy.
You wait. Anyways, so they should say, they say you should have an overseer, right? Kind of takes responsibility for organizing campaigns, etc. Cough, hack, pick Brooks because he's fantastic at organization and doing things. And then there's campaign phases, which the overseer must decide how many there's going to be, and it's, who's going to play who and all that sort of stuff, right? And essentially, what's going to happen is Before you start the campaign, grab 500 points of the muster list, as described in the Battle March Rules, which is an arcane journal of the War of Cetra's Fury, and submit it to the Overseer, right? So not only do you need this arcane journal, you need another one.
You need another one.
Yeah.
That's Old World in a nutshell, though. You need another book.
You need another book. It's rapidly becoming the round base game. You just need another book. So prior to each subsequent phase, you update your muster list, increasing the size of their army, adding new units, new characters, increasing the size of existing units, removing and replacing units or characters, even changing a unit's equipment or a character's magic items. I am so glad they put this in here. I'm so glad, because there would be so many people who would be like, well, I mean, if I pick a 10-man unit of whatever, then I'm stuck with them for the rest of the campaign. And it's like, nope, this specifically says you can increase the size, you can change their equipment, et cetera, right? It's really great. What I was really worried about was the Warhammer GW thing, where if you start doing well, you get overpowered and no one can ever have any hope of beating you. And we've seen this in so many campaign books and so many things that GW has put out over the years, where it's like, you win one of the campaign fights, there's no way you're ever going to be stopped. Except by just bad dice, right?
They've never done a good job with balancing that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
And this is better, because even if you lose, you can still get a little bit better, right? So what happens is, during each phase, each participant plays at least one game. I think it says here you can play a max of two that actually count towards the campaign victory points. And it's just kind of like a, hey, if you get to play everyone, and only one person gets to, you know, there's one person who only gets to play one other person because of time constraints. That's not really fair if you playing all seven other people get to accrue all those victory points, right? So it balances that out a little bit. And it says that the Overseer should make phases at least, I think it was what, at least 2 weeks and up to like six or something like that. Can't remember exactly where that was.
Yeah, all that stuff is going to be so dependent on your own club, like how your own
group. For sure.
Does things. Like, if we were trying to do that here, it would be like, you know, maybe once a month.
Correct.
And then after 2 months, it would end because nobody was doing it because it was so far apart.
It would fizzle. Yep. Yep. So that's obviously something to keep in mind, is like your specific gaming group, as well as, you know, everyone's time constraints, as well as keeping the interest, you know. And that's the hardest balance for anything. Like, how many D&D campaigns have fizzled because of that, right? Mm-hmm. Or WFURP, or whatever we're supposed to call it. Over the course of the campaign, you get campaign points, which are CPs, which I don't like that acronym. At the beginning of each game, both players calculate the total number of victory points they have. I'm sorry, at the end of each game, you calculate how many victory points you have. If you get a crossing victory, you get 3 CPs, 2 CPs for a victory, 1 for a draw, 0 for a loss. And then you know, tell the Overseer how many points you got, right?
I got points.
I got some points.
Hey, man, I got points.
Yep. And then, let's see. Whilst victory in battle is the surest way to earn campaign points, collecting and painting a new army is the true objective. Really, what we're here for is building a new army, right? So participants earn a bonus of 1 CP for every game they play with a fully painted army. And you can fight amongst your group what fully painted means.
I like that.
Yeah, naturally. The whole point is to get a fully painted 2,500 point army, right?
And at the same time, if that's not realistic for your group, you can just not include that rule.
What I like about it is it gives incentive to the people who have painted, right? As opposed to punishing those who haven't. I do like that. But anyways.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Right. Throughout the campaign, some of your units and your characters can get better. And there's a part in this that I don't like, but we'll get to it with the characters. Do you want to go over the unit stuff, or do you want to just go over the second half of the book and I'll do this path to glory?
I figure we can go back and forth with these columns.
Yeah, go nuts.
So you can get your units veteran abilities. So basically, if you destroy enemy units, you get one. If you destroy any unit or capture their standard, you get a point. And if you survive the game without being reduced to less than 50% of starting unit strength, you get a point. So They can accrue a few points if they do really well and kill a couple of units, they could get 3 or 4 points a game. And then, like between games, if you have enough experience, you can roll on a table, which is there's a D6 plus your experience, and you're going to need at least what, six, really?
Yeah,
Because no
yep.
matter what you roll, your experience goes back down to zero, and 2 to 5 is you just don't get anything. So there's not really any reason to
No.
roll if you've got less than.
2 to 5 is it's
Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
reduced to zero.
But neither is it reduced to zero. I can
Yeah.
read.
No, so I'm glad
Yeah.
that you
All right.
had said that because in the character one it specifically said that as well. And I was like, oh, that's neat. Why doesn't it say that for the unit? But I just read it wrong the first time as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So a
All
two to
right, yeah.
five, you don't get anything, but you keep your XP.
Okay, so yeah, I misread that before. 6 to 8, you get grizzled veterans, just plus one leadership.
Dope.
Unless you're already leadership 10, and then it counts as before. It says treat this result as a roll of 2 to 6, but on the table it's 2 to 5.
Yeah, so if you roll a 6 to an 8, it just loops endlessly until someone can break the cycle. It's really confusing.
Classic GW proofreading.
Right?
You roll 9 to 10, you're experienced warriors. You get to reroll any rolls to hit of a natural one. And if you roll this again, you gain a second reroll,
Dope.
which breaks a core rule of the game. You reroll a die you've rerolled. That never allowed.
I want that forever.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I
11
hate
to
this one.
12. Yeah, 11,
I hate this one.
12. You permanently increase your weapon skill or ballistic skill by one.
I hate it.
Why? That's great.
Because these stupid assholes, for less than a month, have been at war doing whatever war, and they're better at dwarves who have been shooting their whole life. I'm
If we
so
ever
angry with
do
this.
this, if we ever do this, the first thing I'm doing with my Chaos Warriors or Marauders is increasing their ballistic skill just so I can put the unit on the table and just have a big old middle finger at you the whole time. My Marauders have weapon skill or ballistic skill 4 for no reason.
And they're in middle finger formation.
Let's see. Can they even take like throwing axes? No.
I hate that one.
It's so funny. Yeah, they are ballistic skill 3 for absolutely no reason. Like horsemen making them ballistic skill 3 could make some sense because they can take throwing axes.
Sure.
That's it.
No, it's my favorite one. I love it.
Yeah, sure. Plus one weapon skill is always great.
Oh yeah.
13 to 14. So obviously you're saving up quite a bit of experience before you're rolling these to get the good stuff. Is fighting formation, the unit permanently improves its maximum rank bonus by one.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. I didn't totally read through all these before. That I like that encourages you to make it a bigger unit too. And like Marauders already have hordes, so now you could count 4 ranks.
Yep, and it is a max of +4. And
That's
before we
crazy.
keep going, we forgot to mention this is only infantry and cavalry for this particular table.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not swarms or war beasts though, because
Correct.
they don't learn.
They're big dumb.
And the last one is 15 plus spoil of war. The unit permanently improves the AP of one of its weapons by one to a maximum of -5.
I adore that.
That's
That's
pretty great.
awesome.
I like that on Chaos Warriors that already have ensorcelled weapons, so now they're just always AP 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's dope.
But you have to have at least 14. Nope, I can't. At least
6 to 15
nine
is,
experience,
yeah.
and then roll a 6 to get that. So that's going to be after a few games.
Yeah, for sure.
But
But
just the idea that you can make your units better as you go through this campaign inherently is awesome, and people love that.
we also have a bit of an oopsie though, right?
Another one?
Well, not an oopsie on their part. This is a did you want me to do this one as well?
Go for it.
Yeah. So no matter how seasoned, battle hardened the members of veteran unit become, no one is safe upon the battlefields of the old world. Casualties happen, yada yada yada. If a
Yeah, yeah.
unit with one or more veteran upgrades reduce below 25% of its starting unit strength, or is destroyed or flees from the battlefield, you roll a d6 at the end of the game. On a 1 through 3, the unit's too badly mauled and recover loses all of its veterans' ability, along with any unspent XP. That should be a 1, not a half. That should be a 1. So you spent all this time building up this unit, and they bad stuff happens to them, and it's like 50% of the time they lose everything every time, right? Awful.
Yeah, that seems way too, like you said, it's going to take multiple games to build up any kind of veteran abilities. And then just because they have one bad game, they lose everything.
A 50% chance to lose everything. Yep.
Destroyed or flees the battlefield. So yep. Like one bad break test, gone.
So, yeah, right. They could be at maximum unit strength and then you roll, double sixes once. Anyways, I take a 1 or a 2. A 1 through 3 seems brutal, right?
Yeah.
Terrible losses. The unit will survive, but many of its veteran members are replaced by untested new recruits. They lose one of their veteran abilities. I'm okay with that being a 2-3. Or a 3-4, excuse me.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So 1-2 and then 3-4. That if we ever did this, that's what I would change. 5 is mauled. They recover quickly after the battle. And 6 is lesson learned. They actually, learn some stuff. They reflect upon their experience and they gain an XP, which is really cool.
I like that. Classic chaos is fickle.
Right. Sometimes absolutely.
It works out for you.
And then underneath that, they have fresh blood. Units can increase in size during the course of a Path to Glory campaign. Wow, I said it right. So the unit strength of with one or more veteran upgrades increase by 5 or more between 2 campaign phases, it will retain its upgrades but lose D3 XP, right? So if you know you're going to start upgrading or making this unit bigger, spend your XP.
Yeah, for real. And then, it's interesting. I like the idea that, you got a whole bunch of newbies that don't really know, they're not as good as the other guys, so you lose experience. I do like that it's not you lose, a veteran ability. That would suck.
No, yeah, agreed. Agreed.
That would be pretty bad, but I think that's reasonable. I don't know. I don't like the idea of losing experience just because you made the unit bigger. You have to do so much to get experience.
Yeah, let's say that you are going to play 6 campaign games, right? And you have one unit that just survived for 5 games. So they got 5 experience, right?
So then the 6th game you roll before the 6th game and you roll, I guess if you have 5 experience, you can't get nothing.
Yeah. So you're getting something no matter what you roll, right? That's really cool. But at the same time, if on the 5th, after the 5th game, you're like, I'm going to make this unit bigger, and then they lose D3 of that experience. I don't know.
That would be back down to 2. Too bad.
Right? I get it. But I get both sides,
And if you're starting at 500 points,
you're going to make the units bigger.
I don't know. How often are you going to get 1 or 2 experience from destroying enemy units, but then also be destroyed and then just potentially lose have a 50% chance to just lose all that experience you gained?
Yeah. Yep.
Because how often do you have a game of Old World where there's almost nothing left on the table at the end?
So often, dude.
Right? Most of the time. So
often.
I feel like it's a little harsh. I think I would change it to, I feel like 50%, less than 50% is not very forgiving.
Yeah, maybe throw that down to less than 25, right?
Yeah, we'll see. If we ever get to play with these rules, I'd like to.
Dude, for real.
I'd like to check it out, because then you can get seasoned commanders. So pretty much same thing as with units, but characters can do this as well. They get experience just for surviving the game.
Yay.
We don't have to worry about if they're down half wounds or anything like that. And then they get an experience per enemy character slain, per trophy of war captured, or enemy unit destroyed during the game. By the character or a unit they had joined, which is kind of nice. So characters are going to gain experience way easier than whole units.
Yep.
And they also gain, if it's your general, they gain experience just if you win the game as well. So way more chances. And then again, you can spend your experience by rolling on a table with a D6. 2 to 6 is the same thing. You don't get anything, but you don't lose your experience. 7 to 10 plus 1 leadership to a maximum of 10. It's really basically the same. 12 to 14 plus one weapon skill or ballistic skill, and then 15 plus improve armor piercing by one. Which that one's not as good as the characters because you're probably, well, I guess it doesn't say it can't be a magic weapon, so
Just says
that's
one
still
of their
really good.
weapons.
So they just got rid of the formation one, obviously, because you're a character.
Oh, they got rid of the rerolls, so natural hit roll of one.
Oh yeah, but that's so good. They
Yeah.
didn't want you to have a Grand Master of a Knightly Order potentially re-rolling ones because he forgot how. He can't even learn how with experience. Don't even try it.
Now, something I do like about this list here for the
Still
season
mad about that.
commanders is the first one, the 2 through 6, is called Prideful Braggart.
It
It's
is really good.
just becomes a jerk.
That's good stuff.
So this is we'll get to the next part, and this is the part that I don't like. It's called Promotion or Death, right? So during the course of Warhammer Path to Glory campaign, characters can meet various fates. For some, promotion, renown; for others, death. As armies grow, blah, 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 blah. So you can want to promote your characters. So, for example, an orc and goblin tribe army might be well led by an orc big boss in the early stages, but as the army grows, the player might want to swap him out with a war boss. Absolutely. This is perfectly acceptable, especially since such a promotion often gives access to mighty monstrous mounts, more potent magic items, and a better profile. And this is the piece I don't enjoy. However, when a character is promoted in this way, they lose all of their veteran's abilities and any unspent XP. That's
No,
not a promotion.
I'm just gonna cross out that sentence in my book. That's dumb.
That's so stupid.
If it's the same character and he's just going from big boss to war boss, why would he lose any of that?
Correct.
Doesn't make any sense.
Correct. If they died, sure. I get that, because then you have to replace them. I totally get that.
And we roll for that on a table, but like if you're just taking it as the next, especially the whole point is that it's an escalation league.
Yes.
You're not going to have a big boss the whole time. When you get to 2,000, 2,500 points, you're going to need a lord level character.
And that would be, if I was the overseer, that would be the thing that I would say to people is, if you are going to drop that big boss, completely remove it from your list and take a war boss in its place, not only are you A, spending the points to do that,
Yeah.
but B, you're obviously replacing that character. Please don't be janky and also put a big boss that is similar back into your list. You know what I mean? That would just be overseer duties of trying to keep people. Like Dan, if you're playing Chaos and you
Hands
have
are strong.
Chaos is strong, and you have some cool character, and you're like, this guy did some awesome stuff in the last 3 games.
Yeah, he
I'm gonna
did.
have him ascend to demonhood. He's gonna become a demon prince.
That's awesome.
Right? And that's super cool. You drop that dude and you pay the points for a demon prince because he canonically in the last games was super dope. I would let you continue the veteran abilities. Why not? That's so thematic.
It really just doesn't make sense. Other than what you were saying, like, okay, so I'm just going to replace it with another character of the same everything as before, except you can't do that anyway because you can't have the same magic items and he
Right.
wouldn't have the veteran stuff anyway. So I don't see the issue with that. I don't really understand why they added that stipulation. I feel like if anything else, you could like have it cost experience to upgrade
Yes.
from big boss to war boss or aspiring champion to exalted champion or exalted champion to chaos lord or whatever, shaman to great shaman, whatever it is. Cost experience then. Don't lose everything that you've built up over time. That seems so, I don't understand. I'm gonna cross that sentence out.
And that's kind of like the thing for me where they could have done a little bit more with this if they added Path to Glory tables, where it's like, this particular piece with promotion, don't loop it in with death, have it being its own thing. And if you want to promote this model to this model, it costs this much experience.
So that's the thing that I was disappointed with the shallowness of these rules, where there's basically two tables. There's one that gives some improvements, and then one that you roll on if they die, and they're basically the same whether it's a unit or character. And like we've seen them do so much more with the idea of Path to Glory. This one is so insanely limited that it was like, oh, where's the rest of it? Like, I want more rules here.
And again, I'm so glad that they exist. I'm so glad that the rules are here and they exist, but it needs more. It really does. So we'll go to death.
If your guy dies.
We'll go to death and dishonor. And for some reason, again, we've just removed a result, which is odd. they're also missing a piece at the bottom of this, which I think they FAQ'd or eroded already. Really? So some characters are doomed to meet an ignominious fate. Golly, that's a ridiculous word. If a character with one or more veteran upgrades is slain, or if they flee the battlefield, roll a d6. Again, 50% chance that they just lose everything. They lose all their veteran abilities. They lose all their XP. Everything's gone because they fled off the table once. Right? They're just dead.
Just one dead condition.
Once again, I would just make that a one or two. Four or five, they're badly wounded. They lose one veteran ability. And then six, lesson learned. And I'm going to read this verbatim. The character gains some valuable insight into the perils of battle. Moving on.
That's it. There's no actual rule with it. Like, come on. I feel like they've been pumping out these arcane journals like crazy lately. Yeah. And we're seeing, like, we saw, what was it, the second Cathay one that literally had a banner copy-pasted from the Skaven.
Yes.
And it didn't even change it. It still said, like, banner of clan superiority or something like that. And it was like, come on, guys. Anybody proofreading this? I think it was just the last book where it was like, you know, if this unit has this rule, if you pay for this upgrade, they get this. And then it was just not there.
Maybe that's what I was thinking, because there's definitely not an FAQ errata for this book. So there's nothing. You don't get anything for this. Just congratulations, you rolled a six. Obviously,
you can assume, again, Overseer can say, like, okay, plus one experience then.
Correct. That's what it was supposed to be.
Yep. Clearly. I mean, it's the same name as the one for the unit's lesson learned. They just forgot to include the rest of the actual rule. They forgot.
And that's the other one is mauled from the page prior is, despite having received a mauling from the foe, the unit's casualties recover quickly after the battle. Like, there's nothing there. Nothing happens.
Yeah, you got four. I mean, if your character died, it makes sense. You got five out of six chance that it's something bad. And then one out of six chance it's actually, well, by the book, nothing. But, like, why isn't it just the same as the units? Four is, right, you know, badly wounded. Five is mauled. Six is lesson learned. And they actually gain experience.
But again, like I'm saying, the one with the units, mauled says nothing. Nothing happens, which I'm assuming is what's supposed to be happening. But it doesn't say anything.
That one makes more sense, that it's just there's nothing bad happened.
Correct. And nothing happens at all. So, like, I don't know. Maybe another sentence that says there is no positive or negative effect. Who knows? But I don't know. I agree with you. Slow down a little. You know?
I don't know. Just 2.5 pages of rules for something as Warhammer as Path to Glory is just like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't know. I agree. I love the idea. I love that it's here at all, but it's just severely lacking.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, the Path to Glory campaign that they had for 40K was, I don't know, Dan, I can't describe it as anything other than absolutely incredible.
It was awesome.
They had all kinds
of rules about, like, building up your units. Like, you could recruit people as you went. I think I might be thinking more like Blood in the Badlands kind of stuff.
But, yes. Yeah.
That was the same kind of idea, and it was great. And you have all these skeletons you could have built this off of, and you chose to ignore all of them.
Yep.
And do the most bare bones you possibly could. Like, not even less than bare bones. Like, not even six results on a D6. Three. Like, come on. You couldn't come up with six different things that would happen after your character got killed or ran away on the battlefield.
I mean, literally just copy and paste. You know what I mean?
Or even something like, the rest of the army doesn't trust them as much because they fell in battle, so they're minus one leadership. Or, you know, there's literally so many things they could have done more than just, oh, they're dead. They lose an ability, or literally nothing because we forgot the second sentence.
Forgot the second sentence.
Also, the picture they have on this page is recycled 40K art.
Huh.
I'm almost certain that is a 40K Demon Prince.
Weird. Well, here's the good news. You can use demons in both.
Yeah.
He's got an axe.
I mean, maybe not because it looks like there might be puffy sleeves on the thing he's standing on, but it's really hard to tell. It's the way it's
Yeah.
cropped. Obviously, they don't want to show anything but the Demon Prince. He does look cool, but typical recycled art we've seen 100 times.
Yeah. At
We
least it's not
do
AI.
have.
At least it's not AI.
That's very true. We know it's not because it's older. But we do have a couple new, another mini series of three scenarios. I don't really want to go over those right now because I want to talk about the rest of the chaos stuff that was added
Sure.
in this book.
Yeah.
We got new profiles for Chaos Marauders and Marauder Horsemen, which I'm very not happy about because A, Marauders, they changed from 25 to 30 millimeter bases.
What?
Yes.
What? Did you send me that? I
No, I
don't think
didn't
you
send you
did.
these pages. I didn't send you these pages because they're the that's almost the only change.
Ugh. Why?
I don't know, and it drives me crazy because I rebuilt my Chaos Army from scratch, so all my Marauders are on 25s, and I
Ugh.
have 20 Berserkers. Technically, they're not changing because they're not Chaos Marauders, they're Marauder Berser they're Berserkers, but
Sure.
I've got at least 40, 45 Marauders on 25s that I have to take them all off of and put on 30s now. Why? Why? I understand some of the changes to the base sizes when the game first came out, but 2 years in, you're going to change base sizes? That's just obnoxious.
Yeah, that's insane.
I don't, and why? There's no real reason for it. The only other difference is the Marauders can no longer take Marks of Chaos, which sucks, because they are objectively better than what we get now, which I don't know if I'll ever use. So, instead of having marks, they can be dedicated to a single chaotic cult.
Okay.
So for both of these, they're 1 point a model. It's a cool idea, I think, to separate them. They're really just the four chaos gods. There's the Bloodied Hound, which of course is Khorne, the Cult of the Slithering Serpent. I bet you can't guess who that represents. The Cult of the Carrion Crow. Or the Cult of the Fell Raptor.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing a likeness to any of these.
Right? So you get a bonus for these. Again, 1 point a model is not bad, but once a game, you can make a leadership test. And if you pass it, then you get a bonus for one turn.
And then if you fail, it just doesn't happen?
If the test has failed, the unit's implorations go unheeded.
Okay, so you spend a point a model to take a leadership 7 test to just probably not get the thing you paid 1 point a model for. What
Right.
is
Well, I
this,
mean,
ambush?
to be fair, they have Horde and Warband, so their leadership is going to be higher than that.
Right, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, there's still a chance you're going to fail it, and it's only one turn. It goes
Oh,
until its next start of turn phase.
thank God, Dan, because you can get poison attacks, and those are so good now.
Right? Yeah. So, Cult of the Slithering Serpent, if you pass it, you get poison attacks until that unit's next start of turn subphase. So you do get it for your turn and the opponent's turn. So
Weird.
you get one round if you pass. The Bloodied Hound, you get plus one weapon skill, which is kind of nice. With Chaos already has high weapon skill, you could be able to hit more things on threes instead of fours. So it's not
Yeah.
terrible.
No, that's good.
My favorite, of course, is the Cult of the Carrion Crow because you get plus one toughness, which is actually really nice.
Yeah.
But again, for one round, so you have to do it in the command subphase. So there's, just imagine you do it, you pay it for your unit of 20, what are they called? Chaos Warriors, right? I'm sorry, it's only Marauders. You're a big old unit of Marauders. So you have 30 Marauders. You paid 30 points for this. You make the test. You go to the movement phase. You make a charge. You fail the charge. You're not in combat now. And then the opponent's like, well, you have plus one toughness. I'm just not going to charge you. And now you don't get any benefit for that rule. Good job. Way to waste 30 points. How often is that going to happen? All the time. The last one is Cult of the Fellraptor gets a 6+ ward save. Should just stop there, but against any wounds suffered that were caused by non-magical enemy attack.
They love that. They love that
Why?
Phrase. They
Why?
Love that phrase so much. Because chaos magic bad.
Like, 6+ ward saves are so good.
Game breaking, I would say.
I don't get it. So like, this is also disappointing because it's just worse than Chaos Marks, because Chaos Marks you get the entire game.
Jeepers.
There's no chance it won't work. You always have it, and they cost the same. I feel like they should just get one of these for free if you have to test for it and it's only once a game.
Yeah.
Or for 1 point, like toughness is a big deal. Obviously, toughness should be more than 1 point a model. To go from 3 to 4, that's huge. But the rest of them are like, why don't I just pay for this and have it the whole game, like Marks of Chaos? Like, is it that big of a deal to pay 1 or 2 points a model so my Chaos Marauders that are strength 3 are now weapon skill 5? Is that the end of the world?
So I'm wondering what was so game breaking, that they needed to make this change.
Yeah, I think the big thing is they wanted to make them more different from Chaos Warriors.
So they made them
make them worse, right?
Yeah, so they made them worse so people would buy the Chaos Warriors kit. Got it.
I don't know, because like, and the same exact thing for the Marauder Horsemen, the same cult things, but they didn't do anything to address the Chaos Arcane Journal, because those rules don't apply to Marauder Berserkers or Marauder Huskarls,
which are Marauders, so why not?
Or Marauder Tribe Chieftains.
Yep.
That. What? What? Why? So I don't get it. I don't like the change on either side of that.
And Marauder Horsemen instead have the option to belong to a Chaos Cult. I mean, it's not you have to. It's they have the option instead of. Units of Chaos Marauders and Marauder Horsemen instead have the option.
Not May.
The option to replace the Mark of Chaos Undivided. Yeah. Of those, some have the option to replace the Mark of Chaos Undivided with a mark of a specific Chaos God. Units of Chaos Marauders and Marauder Horsemen instead have the option to belong to a Chaos Cult. What?
Because they replaced the new profiles in this
That's
book.
So
replaced
stupid.
Those in Ravening Hordes. So yeah, Marauder Horsemen and just Marauders cannot take Chaos Marks anymore.
That's so stupid.
But thank goodness they did actually think ahead a little bit. They have a bullet point here that says a character with a mark of chaos can join a unit belonging to any chaotic cult as normal.
That's so good.
You know, thank goodness it wasn't like, oh, well, if they're a character without one of these cults, they can't join the unit. So it's like sorcerers, chaos lords, anything like that wouldn't be able to. But they didn't even give it to chieftains either.
Sure.
I don't understand it. I don't know why they did this. It makes no sense to me. It's just worse.
Just worse. Interesting. What are these chaos traits, bud?
I mean, they're rules.
So it looks like you can just add more upgrades to your things?
Yeah, so chaos, I don't know. This is another one that's like, I don't, why? Like, we already have magic items and mutations, right? Mm-hmm. Gifts of chaos.
Yeah, but now you
so now we have chaotic traits where characters can have 1 or 2 depending on what type of character they are. Most units can take 1, and then like the important ones like chosen chaos warriors and knights can take 2.
Sure.
Marauder stuff can take 1, except Marauder Huskarl specifically can take 2 of these. I don't know why.
Okay.
And again, so these are, they seem decent at first because they're just, you get this unit, this upgrade. So like the first one, you can get an additional toughness.
However.
Which is always great. Characters cost 20 points. Done. Sold. Absolutely. 20 points for +1 toughness. Units, 2 points a model. A little pricey, but I'm going to do that on my berserkers to make them toughness 5. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but if they wear heavier full plate armor, you can't do this.
Okay.
So the only character that can use this is a Marauder Tribe Chieftain. Unless maybe the lower level character, lower level sorcerer only has light armor. I'm not sure. I'm going to double check that.
Well, I was just looking because isn't Chaos Armor full plate?
No, Chaos Armor is just a rule that gives you a ward save
Oh, gotcha.
on top of your armor, but I'm all sorcerers come with armor now, and I'm pretty sure they both have
Heavy
heavy.
armor.
I'm gonna
No,
double
Exalted
check
has
here.
light. Exalted Sorcerer has light armor.
Okay, so an exalted sorcerer or a marauder tribe chieftain can take this because they have light armor as well, I'm pretty sure. Oh, a demon prince could actually take this. That's actually huge. Actually make them toughness six.
That sounds awful and I hate it. I mean, it's what I do on my Demon Princess, so.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's one of the few ones that doesn't say infantry or cavalry only. Oh, this they are monstrous infantry. I forgot they're
No.
not a monster.
No. Chaos Demon Princess can't take chaotic traits.
You're right. This book is stupid. I'm gonna return it. I'm so mad. I love the chaos, and they really seem to love chaos in Old World, but it's always like it's so close to being just right, but they just miss the mark. It drives me nuts. Because the next one here is called Dark Hearts. This one's okay. 20 points for a character, 1 point a model for a unit, only for infantry or cavalry. So you can't put this on a guy and a monster. Essentially, they have like the second part of causing terror. If you win combat, the losing side is minus one leadership.
When you take the break test.
Yeah. Which,
Cool.
again, not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. I mean, that helps. Oh, I like the next one.
The next one's nice.
You go fast. I like going fast. 0 to 1 unit per 1,000 points called Long Strider. Unless they're wearing heavy armor or plate armor, models with this chaotic trait gain the Vanguard special rules. It's 15 points per character and plus one per unit. Plus 1 point per model for a unit. Jeepers. But again, you can't put it on anything but Marauders.
No Chaos Warriors, no Chaos Knights, no Huskarls if you give them heavy armor.
Nope.
Nope. You can put
Just,
it on Warhounds, though.
oh boy, you know what I
Wait,
want to
no.
do?
Never
Is
mind. They're
you
not
probably
listed
can't put them on
here.
Warhounds.
Sorry, what?
Oh my gosh, no, this is insane. There's just so many restrictions. What is this, Skaven? Golly.
Right? This last one, or the next one here, I actually really like. And I was trying to build a new list using these rules. And I like this one a lot. Enhanced reflexes. Plus 10 points per character. Not bad. Plus 1 point a model per unit. When engaged in close combat, models with this trait that choose to fight with a hand weapon get plus two modifier to their initiative.
And you can use then a source of weapon here, and that's pretty cool.
That's really great. So this is basically the same rule we see all the time with like ensorcelled weapon, Grommril weapons, and whatnot, where you have to have just a hand weapon. You can have hand weapon and shield, but you can't have like an additional hand weapon or anything like that. But plus two initiative is super dope because
Yeah, that's
like,
huge.
what Chaos Warriors are like initiative five already.
Yeah, so as long as you're just using sword and board with them, and sorceled sword and board, even. That's pretty dope. They're initiative 4. Yeah, so I just took a look. Looks like Chaos Warriors are initiative 4, but still, I mean, this bumps them up.
To six, like
Dope.
they're going to be going before a lot of things that charge them, especially like if they get charged by gray weapons.
Yeah, right?
That's
Absolutely.
pretty great. And then they have, hand weapon shield, so now they also have a 3-up save against that they're going to be killing a bunch of dudes before they go.
And it's ensorcelled.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe you spend experience in there and source of weapons are minus two AP now.
Yo, actually.
Maybe. The next one is another one I really want to like. Battle Hunger. Actually, you go over this one because you like this kind of stuff.
It's 10 points a model, 20 points per unit, which is I interesting. Models of troop type is infantry. A unit which consists entirely of models with this chaotic trait increases its maximum possible charge range by 2 inches, and when making a charge or pursuit roll, adds an extra D3. I do like stuff like this. Love me some going fast Slaanesh things. And my only issue with things like this is I always forget to use them.
Totally fair, especially
Always.
when it's kind of like Swift Stride
Yeah.
for infantry. So I'm definitely gonna forget
Oh yeah,
because it's infantry
absolutely.
only. But still, how fun is that to be like, oh, by the way, my Chaos Warriors charge an additional D3 inches, and the opponent's like, what? Excuse me? They have a 12-inch charge range instead of 10?
Friggin' hilarious.
So that one's kind of cool. I think I'd like that on Berserkers,
Yeah.
because they're already movement 5.
Right.
So like, just that little bit of extra oomph to get them into, to actually get the charge to use their flails.
Yeah, correct. Not only that, but then you can get to go Berserker Barrage. And
The
so,
next one here is actually objectively good.
oh, yeah.
Finally, Brazen Will, 10 points per model for characters, 15 points per unit, because it just gives you infantry cavalry again. Magic resistance 1. Dope.
Super dope.
Magic's already hard to cast. Let's just make it even more difficult if you want to hit me with a magic missile or a hex or something.
Yep, as a Darf player, I agree. This is fantastic.
I think 15 for a unit is reasonable. This is something I would definitely think about throwing. Like, this would make me more likely to take something like chosen anything.
Okay.
Because normally I'm like, nope, too expensive for one more attack. Most of them are going to die. They're going to have such a big target on them. They're going to die before they even get into combat. I don't
Yeah.
care about that extra attack. But MR1 can make a huge difference.
But Dan, they also have an extra leadership, Dan.
I don't care. Last one. Last category trait is prophetic foresight. This one's kind of neat. I don't think I'll ever use it just because, again, I would never remember. But I like the idea of it. Characters 10 points, units 10 points. It says, granted brief glimpses of the future, a warrior may predict the movement of enemy scouts and foresee the arrival of reinforcement. So enemy units that deploy with scouts can't be within 18 inches of a unit in which every model has this chaotic trait, instead of the usual 12. I like how they throw that in there. In addition, enemy units that are silly and using the ambusher special rule for whatever reason may not be placed within 12 inches, rather than the usual 8 of a unit in which every model has a chaotic trait. So, like, if you know you're going up against ambushers, this one's decent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you could really just be like, you're not gonna, ambush behind my lines at all, because I can be right up at the 12-inch point and you can't show up behind me.
Yeah, and as someone who has had many a chameleon skink show up behind me in the old days of 8th edition, this would have stopped that from happening.
That
Which is fantastic. I don't hate that at all.
one's all right.
That one's all right.
I think the
But
best one
Dan,
is Battle Hunger. But what?
there's a whole new lore.
There's new magic.
There's new magic. I love new magic.
I like new magic. I don't know how I feel about this one. This is the Magic of the Wastes or Lore of the Shadowlands. I'm not really sure which. I guess Magic of the Waste is a rule that says, sorcerers of chaos can add this lore to their list
Yeah.
of lores they can choose from. Lore of the Shadowlands. So this one's kind of cool. I think my favorite part of it is it has one of every kind of spell,
Yeah.
except two magic missiles. So I like it even more. Because the first one, the signature spell, is a magic missile called the Maelstrom of Chaos. So it's casting value 7. These all seem to be a little lower, I think because they made this after they changed
Sure.
casting rules.
Yeah.
But it's a magic missile that places a small blast template directly over a center of an enemy unit. Sorry, the range is 15 inches. So,
It's kind of short.
Once placed, it scatters D3 plus 1 inches. The usual hit by a template, but it's strength 4, AP 3 is kind
Yeah,
of nice.
the AP is kind of brutal.
That's pretty sweet. I'd love to hit like a big old unit of knights or super heavily armed dwarves with this or something. So not bad
No.
for a signature spell.
I really like the next magic missile, to be perfectly honest. The strength's a little
Yes.
low, but the range is great. The casting value is great. So it's Blackened Bolts. It's casting value 8 plus 18 inch range. A target enemy unit suffers 2d6 strength 3 hits, AP 1. And if that's not good enough for you folks, if you they take any unsaved wound whatsoever, they take a panic test. I really like that. That's solid.
It's pretty good. I
Yeah.
mean, every magic missile you have to compare to fireball.
Correct.
And it's not as good as Fireball.
However,
because doesn't Fireball have 24-inch range?
That sounds correct. I can look that up.
Like, that's such
I don't know, man. I don't
difference.
Cast spells.
6 inches is a big difference, you know?
But I also, no comment.
AP1.
No comment.
AP1 is huge, though. But like you said, it's only strength 3.
Yeah.
That hurts.
And it's not flaming attacks, Dan. That's huge.
That is nice, actually. Flaming attacks are bad.
Yes, Fireball is 24-inch range. It's the same casting value of 8+ as strength 4, no AP.
I'd rather have Fireball.
I don't know. Having that panic test could be brutal, especially in a Path to Glory campaign, where if you get something off the board, it just loses all of its veteran abilities because
well
F you,
could.
That's why.
Oh, I think there's... I like how they made it different enough that it's like, I could see, because I think these guys can already know Battle Magic. Yeah, they can. So
yeah.
They could potentially get Fireball. The next one is, again, this one's okay, actually, I think. The Veil of Gloom.
Mm.
An enchantment range of 15 inches, which is, I like enchantments that aren't, like, on the sorcerer and his unit.
Yeah.
So, like, it can be, but doesn't have to be. Casting value 9 is a little high, but until your next start of turn subphase, so your turn and your opponent's turn, target friendly unit gains a 4+ ward save against any wounds suffered that were caused by a template.
Weird.
Not bad.
Yeah.
For like stone throwers and stuff. I gotta double check if things like cannons and warp lightning cannons, do they count as templates? The line?
I don't remember.
I feel like it doesn't, but I think it should. And a 5+ ward save against any wounds suffered in the shooting phase.
Cool.
So if those lines count as a template, they get a 4+. If they don't, they still get a 5+. And it's a big weakness for Chaos is getting shot before they get into combat. So 5+ ward save against any shooting. I like that one. That's solid.
No, for real.
No limitations either. Like the one that's like, oh, you get a 5+ ward save, but you can't march or charge.
You know what it also helps with, Dan?
What?
The Thunder Mace. In the Ogre Kingdom's book, the 90-point weapon that puts a small inch, a small 3-inch template on the foe.
Oh, yeah, because it just suffered by a template.
Yeah, uh-huh. Eh.
I got a 4 port save against your stupid mace now. Good job spending 90 points on that, idiot.
Idiot. Next one's Vortex of Darkness. So we've got, it's a cast on a 10+, 15-inch range. Place a small blast template so its central hole is within 15 inches of the caster. Template's treated as difficult terrain, and then it scatters D6 during every start of turn subphase. Any unit, friend, or foe that passes through suffers 3d6 strength 2 hits with no armor saves. Meh.
Yeah,
it's all right.
No armor, but you can still take ward or regen.
I mean, it's no flaming fireball attack, but it's neat.
3d6
it's difficult terrain, which everyone remembers.
The what?
It's difficult terrain, which everyone remembers.
Oh, always.
Always.
Yeah, the other thing is that, like, 3d6 strength 2, but you don't have any hag tree fetish to reroll them.
Right. Well, it's not strength 1. I mean, you know.
The next one here, I don't hate this one either, especially for a chaos sorcerer or demon prince that might be in combat. This is Shadowed Assailants. This is an assailment spell, which normally are really hit or miss, I feel like. And again, I never remember to cast.
I'm just going to put this out there. This is only available to sorcerers of chaos.
Dang it.
Yep. So
I
demon
really
princes
put this on a demon prince, though.
They get no love at all.
It's so stupid. Why do they hate demon princes?
I don't know, man.
All right, whatever. You're a sorcerer. In combat, fine. On an 8+, he'll hit the enemy unit with 3d6 strength 1 hits with no armor or regen.
Cool.
Not bad. Ward saves can still be attempted, but I like the idea of that in a challenge. 3d6 onto a single model. Like, oh, wow, you're a 2-wound battle standard bearer. And I just rolled 10, average 10 strength 1 hits against you. What are the chances you're going to roll 2 6s and you're
right.
probably dead? Like,
I mean,
this one's decent.
Yeah, 10 is only 2 6s, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you get lucky against a dragon, you know what I mean?
Get crazy lucky. I mean, BSB very well could have a ward save depending what army they're in.
Sure.
But still, like this, and this is on top of your sorcerer's attacks as well, which are usually okay, or they either two or three attacks. And they're better than most wizards. So, like, I don't mind this one.
No, it's pretty decent. The next one is our first casting value that has two. It's a six or a nine, and it's ranged self.
Nice.
If this spell is cast with a casting value of six, a single friendly unit within 6 inches of the caster gains a reserve move. If it's cast with a nine, every friendly unit within 6 inches gets reserve move. That's kind of cool.
Not
It's
bad at
chaos.
all.
They want to go fast.
Reserve move is one of those that I wish I
You
was
have
a
to
better player
remember.
to be able to make use of. I can see people seeing this as a very good spell.
Yeah.
6-inch range is not fantastic, but
It's adequate.
I think it's fine.
I love the innuendos in this spell, though. I absolutely do. It's 6 inch range, casting value is 6/9. They knew what they were doing.
There's so many sixes and nine in that spell. All right, and the last one is kind of the chaos, one of the chaos things here. You get a little bit of synergy with things like the one trait, Dark Hearts. Here, the Chains of Darkness is a hex, range 18 inches, which I feel like is a little bit longer for hexes. They're usually 15.
Sure.
Cast on an eight, so not terrible. Until your next start of turn subphase, the target enemy unit suffers minus one modifier to its movement and leadership.
That's pretty cool.
I forgot this one was also movement. That's great. I think
Yeah.
that's a really good spell. I mean, I would absolutely try out this lore. Is it going to beat out battle magic? It's tough.
Well, the biggest issue with it beating out battle magic is it doesn't have fireball.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Especially since they nerfed Pillar of Fire. I think that really made the other lores look good again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Pillar of Fire needed the beat stick, though.
100%, yeah. So that's all the chaos stuff in this book. Other than those three scenarios we could talk about another time, but they're not really chaos specific because you can always play it with whatever you want. The idea is that you use Wolves of the Sea or just chaos against whatever. But the last part of the book, I think we'll have to talk about another time, is arguably the best part of the book.
Yeah.
Artifacts of the Shadowlands, all common magic items.
It's just more magic items for everyone
Everyone. You
besides
know who
dwarves.
can take these besides everyone? Renegades.
Oh, dope. Okay.
Right, because they only have access to the common magic items, so they get
Yeah.
these as well, which that army kind of needs because they don't
Yeah,
have a
for
lot of,
real.
they have way fewer options than any other army. So this is really nice.
I haven't really read through these yet, and they look on the cheap side, and I'm A-okay with that.
I mean, they're just what you would expect from more common magic items. They all do real basic stuff.
That's fine. I'm
Yeah,
totally okay with
not
that.
bad at all. Like the Banner of Swirling Wind, enemy models that shoot at the unit with this banner minus one to hit.
Yeah, that sounds awesome because ballistical shooting is really overpowering everything. So we needed something to just beat that down. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess I'll just point out a couple of these that I think are cool because I really like I like the idea of the levitating shield. If you could take this in dwarves, I feel like you would because you can take a shield and a weapon that requires two hands because the shield just floats around you. Can you imagine a dwarf lord with a ruined out great weapon and a shield floating around him? Too bad he can't do that because he's dumb and doesn't know how magic works. Only problem with this is that it's a shield. That's it for 25 points. Plus one armor for 25 points on top of your great weapon.
However, Dan, you can make somebody sad with one of the swords for 30 points. This is a sword of sorrow. And it's a ranged weapon. What?
Yeah, it's like Link's sword, whoosh, 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 shooting lasers out of it. Yeah,
Cannot
so
be
it's a
used in
weapon.
combat.
Sword of Sorrow. This is a missile weapon.
It's cool though, because you can't take ward or regen saves.
And multiple wounds, two, strength five, range 30. Like, not terrible.
I mean, I hope that you put it on someone who has ballistic skill over three. So
So not
it's
dwarves.
a good thing dwarves can't take.
So one of my favorite things here is a nice little combo you can do. It's almost all of your magic points for a lord level character. The Cackling Blade, 65, that's the Excalibur for this new list. Strength plus one in combat, AP one, extra attacks D6.
Heck yeah.
If you roll a six for those, though, you take a wound because it cackles at you and hurts you. But then you can also take the Potion of Fervor for 30 points and get plus D3 attacks one time.
Dang.
So you could get plus D6 plus D3 attacks once a game.
Wow. You know what would be really funny is if Tim played this game, and also if he did that and he
I get
rolled two
two.
ones,
Yep,
'cause that
absolutely.
would be what he would do with 95 points.
Right. That's just kind of funny. You can really get a ton of attacks on characters now with these. There's some cool combos you can do with these new items and other books items.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I gotta take a look at something here, because
Uh-oh.
there's a thing coming up on January 10th that Dan and I are gonna try to go to. It is
Really
in,
like to.
yeah, it's in the, is it the art store?
Yeah, Arp Star in Syracuse. Yeah, on January 10th, it's just a 2,000 point tournament.
Which just, it's gonna, hopefully we can go. It's gonna be absolutely awesome. Oh boy, that's hilarious. Okay, ready for this, Dan?
I'm ready.
Tyrant,
No.
Cackling Blade,
Okay.
Strength 6, AP minus 1, magical attacks up to 11 attacks.
And then give him the Potion of Fervor too. Now he's up to 14 attacks.
Oh man, I like that a lot, and I will be doing that. Hey, can I use your ogres for this event?
No. As long as I don't get matched up against you.
Oh man. Oh, and I can make him strength 7 with Giant Breaker.
There you go. Yeah,
Up
it's
to
pretty
11
gross.
attacks.
Yeah, so there's some cool stuff in here. I honestly, I think these last three pages are the best part of the whole book. I've been reading through the lore as well, which is fine. Chaos is invading. I don't know. There's nothing crazy new or different here. There's some nice new artwork. I mean, obviously, the whole point of this book is to promote those objectively gorgeous new Marauder models.
Yeah, it'd make them worse. Yep.
Oh, but they look so good while doing it.
Well, that's why we had to make them bigger, is because they're better poses. So they gotta be on
Yeah.
bigger base.
I mean, that's kind of fair, but I don't want to have to rebase. I mean, I'll put them on trays more likely than rebase, but
Sure. Yeah.
the new models are, they look fantastic. I'm going to have to get some at some point down the line. But yeah, I think the only thing we didn't go over was all of the items, which I don't think we need to go over every single one, and those that the scenarios, which
Yeah, we'll get there.
you know
Scenarios look fun.
they're scenarios. I would try them for sure.
I'd play games.
I'll put models down and roll dice. Actually, I haven't read through the scenarios at all yet because it's like, yeah, maybe someday.
No, they're scenarios. They're pretty good.
There's
No,
so many
some, yeah.
other ones we have to play through already
Right.
as it is.
Yeah, one of them is like a baggage train that you have to get through, and you can loot it and stuff. And another one has like a, something in the middle of the table. They look cool. I'd love to try them. We'll get
Woo.
there. But anyways, folks,
Someday.
I have a thing that I say at the end of the episodes, and I don't remember what it is. So, here it is. Yeah. Okay. I found it. I found it. God, I'm so good at this game.
Good
Thank you for
job.
listening, first of all. Secondly, hey, leave us a review, Apple Podcast or Audible. That would be super dope. We'd love a review. Professionalcasual.com for all of our other socials, podcasts, blogs, merch, everything's over there. And start playing dot games. Dan's doing GM stuff still. So if you want to play games with Dan and some other members of the community, you can head over to start playing dot games and look for Bad GM Dan. Twitch.tv
Heck
slash
yeah.
professional casual network. It's been a little rough streaming because which is holidays and a whole bunch of other stuff going on, but you
Life.
can always you can almost always find Dr. D's painting something. So go ahead and give us a follow over there. And then, hey, P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. If you're feeling generous and you want to send us something, that would be super dope. If you want to send pictures of your feet to Tim, You can either send it there or you can send it to 603-803-3235, where he'll open up his text and be like, I know it's fate again.
It's fate again.
Yeah, it's fate again. Dan, you got anything you want to say to the peoples?
Yeah, I was going to say to continue the shameless plug for startplaying.games.
Yes.
My regular Uber's Wreck Adventure campaign has been full for a while, but I am throwing up one-shots here and there of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. A couple things I have like prepared. One-shot called Vincenzo 6, which is a heist on a Italian villa. I did a bunch of more work on it yesterday, getting things ready, like in Foundry, getting all the characters in there. And I'm really excited to run that because I think it'll just be a blast. Cause I got 6 pre-generated characters for people to use and they all have their own little like motivation and like quite a few of them have little side quests basically to like make things not so straightforward and easy.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped to try that one out at some point down the line.
And I heard that half of them have the climb ability. So
three of them do have advances in climb. I think the highest one is like a 44, but still better chances than others. Because there are big walls you could potentially climb over.
Yeah, but there's also big walls you can fall off of.
Exactly.
And fall damage in that game is unforgiving.
I think I have a whole paragraph about if they try to scale the walls into the villa, because the whole thing has a big wall around it.
Jeepers.
That sounds
like a blast.
Yeah, but anyways, I can't wait folks, to do it.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for loving me. And we'll see you in the next one. Dan, say it.
Yeah, may your dice ever roll 6s, unless it's for falling off a wall.
And then always roll a 40 or under. Love you. Bye.
Bye.